You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special segment to start out your week, which is going to be covering a ton of NBA draft stuff. I'm your host, Colt Molesky, and I have on a couple special guests, Lucas Han of the SB Nation Clippers blog covering everything LA Clippers, and Brian Zillman of Blue Hardwood covering everything Dallas Mavericks in the podcast sphere. Gentlemen, first of all, thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for talking a little hoops headed into the draft. Of course, the NBA draft for the 2018 year is this Thursday, the first round this Thursday. Plenty to talk about. I think over the weekend, though, The pressing issue is Kawhi Leonard and how he changes the draft field. So, Lucas, throwing it to you right away, you guys have two picks right in the bottom of the lottery there for the Clippers. Do you suspect that they put one or both of those on the market to try and move Kawhi to the Clippers side of L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Clippers will try to make an effort. I mean, I think a lot of teams are going to be at least in some sort of contact with San Antonio this week to try to make something happen. I don't know that the value is really there when you talk about picks 12 and 13 that the Clippers have. Normally you're more talking about like rotational guys, maybe, you know, you're not really talking about the guys who become, who have that high upside to become stars. And when you're talking about putting a package together for someone like Kawhi Leonard, who's won a finals MVP, two-time defensive player of the year, you know, his last healthy season was like 26 points a game, like really top tier guy in the NBA. You need a little bit more than a couple of solid late lottery picks. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Clippers will be in touch. I'm not super optimistic that they have the pieces to get a deal done. But I think one of the most interesting things about stars going on the trade market at this time of year is that talks can really be accelerated because this is the one time when a team that is losing a star in a trade knows for certain who they will be able to get back in terms of picking their own prospect in the draft. So if, you know, the Grizzlies call and offer pick number four, the Spurs know who's going to be there at number four and can take whoever they want, as opposed to if they do it 2 weeks from now. Sure, the Grizzlies might have a nice prospect to include in a trade, but the Spurs no longer have that choice that comes with getting the pick before the draft. And if the trade happens at the trade deadline, there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding how the standings play out and how the lottery plays out. So this is that small window right here before the draft, going into the draft, when you know exactly what draft pick you're getting, and teams can get a lot of choice to choose their own prospects. So yeah, I actually think that this there's a decent chance that something happens by draft night with Kawhi. I'm not saying that it's the Clippers because, you know, like I said, I'm not super optimistic about that. But the kind of dynamics going to the draft make that pretty decent odds, I think, that he'll be moved this week.
And just so many kind of variables that can spin off of Kawhi moving around. One of those being if you are a team in that top five, like the Dallas Mavericks, maybe a team that does trade into the top four. Grizzlies have had their pick out there for a little bit. If a team does move up into that top five that wasn't there originally, that could change the landscape of the top five and who is kind of available there. Brian, looking at the Dallas Mavericks and they have a top five pick, one of the fascinating things about draft week is all that can shift, that's possible to shift going into the draft. Is there anybody you hope can kind of be shaken free or shaken available for the Dallas Mavericks as far as choices for them to draft? If there is a trade, is there somebody that you're hoping kind of drops to that fifth spot?
Right now, Colton, I would say, honestly, if there was a possibility Jaren Jackson falls to five, I would be doing handstands if I could. And it's crazy because the way the mocks and the workouts have gone here in the past week, it's up and flow. I was under the assumption Jackson was going top three with no question, but now You know, you've got the upside of Mo Bamba getting a lot of love, where people may want to jump up and maybe trade for him, which is great because, you know, if somebody wants to take that, you know, chance on Bamba, great. Or, you know, if a team wants to move up and get Michael Porter, that's also great too. I just feel like from the top tier, you know, obviously there's Ayton, there's Luka, you've got Bagley, and then, you know, a lot of people have Jaren Jackson as their, you know, top center in this entire draft. There's a lot of different things he can do. I believe he was one of the few people in college this year that had at least he had 4 or 5 games where he had at least 4 blocks. So there's a lot of different nuances to his game. Very intriguing. Offensively, he's still really raw, but he's not even 20 years old. So he's a baby, essentially. So if that was a guy that could fall to Dallas, that's the one I look at.
And then when we're talking about moving pieces, some of the spinoff to that, something I've been really talking, hammering away at for the Timberwolves, is the spinoff is that this could help free up some stuff for the team after the draft as well. And I think this is particularly crucial for maybe a team like the Clippers, team like the Timberwolves, where if I'm looking at people I can draft, the UCLA point guard Aaron Holiday is somebody who sticks out for the Timberwolves because that gives them point guard depth, which would allow them to try and package Tyus Jones in with one of these tougher contracts of Gorgui or Cole Aldrich, where you can try and get rid of one of those contracts by packaging Tyus Jones with youth. If you look at him or really DeAnthony Melton, anybody who adds depth to that guard spot could give them that flexibility. Lucas, if you're looking at this draft kind of through that lens a little bit, is there a way you can draft a couple of guys that also help you maybe offload some contracts or package some guys for a trade in free agency to grab another guy, maybe not a Kawhi Leonard type guy, but they offer some flexibility for you to package guys already on the roster in trades for the Clippers after the draft? And if so, what are kind of those positions you're gunning for to give your team that flexibility?
Well, I think the easiest way, if you're trying to jettison a contract or make another move, is, like I said, it works better if you can do that deal before the draft so that the other team doesn't get the salary of the player. And I just think it's more enticing if we say, hey, we can give you the 12th pick and you can choose who you want from this list of prospects other than this is the guy we liked at 12. Now we're offering him to you. But I think that there is a little bit of a way that the draft can help leave doors open for you long term, because it's just about how you build your team in terms of adding versatile players. And so this is one of the reasons why, you know, I kind of would favor a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander over a guy like Colin Sexton a little bit, just because I feel like SGA is someone who maybe fits a little more universally in different systems, is a little more natural of a switch over to maybe the shooting guard position. If you want to play like a two-guard lineup, you know, with his size and length, he can handle those defensive assignments a little bit better than a guy like Sexton can. So adding a guy SGA compared to Sexton, assuming that neither of them is going to be your A1 superstar, they give you flexibility depending on when you get that star down the line, you know, because most teams don't have the guy yet that they're going to build their contending team around. They're waiting to get that guy. So when you get a guy like SGA, it gives you a little more flexibility when that guy comes, whatever he looks like, whatever position he plays, whatever style he plays. SGA is a little more of a Swiss Army knife. If you get a superstar point guard down the line, SGA can bump over to shooting guard. He can play in different systems, whereas Sexton is a guy who's a little more dominant, a little more on the ball, a little more stuck in the point guard position. And, you know, if let's say next year the Clippers have the number one pick and draft an amazing point guard prospect, Sexton is kind of now out of the picture. That's not really the case with SGA. So, yeah, I don't know so much about trading guys who you've just drafted within the next couple of weeks. That's not something that's but I do think that you can sign players or you can draft players in a way that doesn't restrict your free agency and trade strategy moving forward. Or if you draft players who are very rigid in terms of style and position, that can kind of limit the kinds of players that you would look to acquire down the line.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, Gilchrist Alexander, he will be one of those guys who you look back and say, wow, he was kind of underrated going into the draft when because everybody was swept up in Trey Young and Colin Sexton. And so if you have a guy like that on your roster, that could maybe free up some other things along the roster. Maybe now you have some confidence to move around some pieces that were on the roster of the Clippers last year that you didn't really want to move before going into the draft. Brian, if we're looking at this, and I think I could say you're probably in the same boat a little bit as the Timberwolves where you're looking to make improvements. Maybe you're looking to pick up some of those free agents that teams are more willing to part with now that they've got their new young forward or point guard from the draft. And now that maybe they have a couple more players on the roster, they're willing to part with a few more players that they had before the draft. And a team like the Timberwolves, maybe looking to get somebody like that on the cheap. Dallas, maybe looking to get somebody like that on the cheap. If somebody were to come available, like a mid-range guy, were to come available, what's the best position for the Dallas Mavericks that would be that they would be able to snatch up for cheap after the draft?
That's a very good call out, Colt. I would say, honestly, you know, pending all this craziness of Paul George, Kawhi, and even LeBron, I would say Julius Randle would be a name to look out for because, you know, especially if Lakers are trying to make all these superpower moves, you know, Randle, they could essentially acquire, you know, in the same terms they did with Harrison Barnes when Durant, you know, leaving Golden State, they essentially just got, you know, they signed Barnes away from Golden State because obviously there was no cap room. So if the Lakers are obviously trying to clear this mega cap space and create the superpowers of, you know, super friends for this push next year, I would say Julius Randle would be someone to look at potentially as well. Just because I do like Randle at the four, I feel like that's a guy that could actually help rebounding-wise within their starting lineup. Now, even if he's not like a full-time, you know, power forward, that's still a solid rotation player that could still be your sixth or seventh man off the bench.
No, yeah, I think defensively very underrated. And just as far as Timberwolves, anybody who can guard the perimeter and is willing to take three-point shots would be a huge get for them. Anybody who can help them from outside like that. Some guys that maybe people don't think about that are free agents this year, Trevor Ariza, unrestricted free agent. You got Jabari Parker, who's an unrestricted free agent. Not unrestricted. He is a restricted free agent, but you could maybe try and pry him away from the Bucks. Guys like that would really help the Timberwolves because they actually have a willingness to shoot three-point ball as well as they can knock them down and get hot from that range. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to get back to draft conversation. But first, a quick break. So before we get, I wanted to ask you guys what would be the top thing that surprises you in the draft, the top surprise. We're going to go a little wider, a little broader than just the teams we cover. But first of all, the salary cap has already had an effect on this draft. You look at the Memphis Grizzlies trying to sell Chandler Parsons' contract for the fourth pick, just to get out the pressure of that draft of the cap space kind of playing a role in how they're looking at the draft. And if you look at a couple years ago, everybody saw the cap go up and thought it would keep rising over the next couple seasons. So they're signing crazy deals. The Allen Crabbe on the Portland Trailblazers, $80 million 4 years is the one that'll always stick out to me. It's just one of the crazy deals that kind of emphasized how insane everybody was looking at the cap that year. So if you're looking at this draft, do you guys think we'll go Brian first and then Lucas? Do you guys think that a cap situation that truly is terrible across the league, really nobody with a ton of cap space, do you think that that cap problem plays a role in this draft and how teams draft and how teams view the value of their pick headed into that draft and leading up to the draft?
I feel it could, Cole, because a lot of I'm not sure about you guys personally. I think a really undervalued, story that's been reported is that Denver's willing just to part with If you take the $13 million of Kawhi Leonard for a year, they're willing to give you the 14th pick. You know, they're in a bind because, you know, they're trying to get Nikola Jokic to an extension this year. They do not want to mess around with him going into free agency. So, you know, Colt, you pointed out perfectly, there's not a lot of teams. There's really only about four teams throughout the NBA that actually have, you know, cap space. You know, you've got teams like Atlanta, Brooklyn, and then, you know, Dallas as well. So if there is a team, you know, that could actually absorb his contract, you know, you've got another, you know, you've got a pick at 14, and you've got players that you can choose from, you know, Robert Williams, Miles Bridges, Lonnie Walker. If you're telling me you could go into this draft, absorb just 1 year of Kenneth Faried, and you get another top 10, you know, another top 15 pick in this draft, I'd do that in like 5 seconds.
Hey, Lucas, how do you think that this will affect? Do you think that this will affect the draft as well? Kind of take Brian on my side with it, or do you think that this is an overreaction?
No, I think it will affect the draft, but I don't think it should. I think the way that teams are kind of angling this is a mistake. Like, I think, for example, a team like Denver, willing to give up their first-round pick to move that Kenneth Faried contract, is a mistake. Because, first of all, he's on an expiring deal. There's 1 year left. So, really, like, okay, even if they give Jokic the big money this summer, it's 1 year, and then that big cap hit for Faried is gone, and you can move forward. They've known this was coming. They didn't have to give Plumlee the big contract prior, and, you know, a couple of years ago, or last season, I forget what year they gave it to him. But, I mean, this was a very foreseeable reality that they put themselves in. And now Denver finished in ninth place outside of the playoffs, but they're still kind of in this sort of win-now situation where they're young and developing, but also the clock is kind of ticking for them to actually start doing something. And, you know, at 14, you have a chance to add talent. Like Brian was saying, how it sounds good to have a chance to maybe get a guy like Lonnie Walker at 14 who can come in and help your team. Denver could really use the ability to go and get a guy at pick 14. There's actually Robert Williams is in there who's kind of an athletic energy big that maybe could comp to what Faried used to do in some ways, although I think Williams might be a little better on the defensive end and a little less, not probably going to score as much as Faried did. But you're putting yourself in a situation where you're giving up on a guy who could be a part of your rotation just to save a little bit of money for 1 year. It's the same thing with Memphis, think, you know, trying to offload the Chandler Parsons contract. 2 years, like, the Grizzlies are a bad team. That cap hit doesn't hurt them for the next 2 years because they're going to be good for the next 2 years. But trading away the number four pick just to get rid of the cap hit short term could potentially cost them a player who might be a starter or all-star for the next 10 or 12 or 15 years. Are you like, is that really worth it just to get some money off the books when you're not even the kind of team where opening up cap space is going to let you get that last piece and let you be good? It's amazing to me how short-sighted a lot of teams are being, especially in a climate where it seems as though draft picks are worth as little as I can ever remember them being worth, or excuse me, as much as I can ever remember them being worth. And you can't just attach a late first to a big contract. You know, it used to be pick 27 and a bad 3-year deal. You could dump that big deal with a late first rounder. Now we're literally talking about Denver maybe giving up a lottery pick to dump an expiring contract. This, you know, this is kind of tipping the scales from what we're used to. And I just think it's short-sighted to be giving up so much draft value for what's really not a game changer for these franchises financially.
No, yeah, and you both brought it up, but teams that are willing to part with those draft picks to make a move right now as far as cash really is amazing that you're able – that teams are still choosing to try and grab an entity that they know right now, or try to go and clear space for free agents that they know right now have a ceiling at X. That this is their ceiling right now, and this is probably as far as they go, because a lot of these free agents are either mid-peak or just leaving their peak. And so you know what their ceiling is going to be. And you're giving up already before you even have him on your roster on a player, a young player coming in, where you don't know where his ceiling is, and you can really mold him not only into the player that hopefully hits that ceiling, but also into a player that can help your specific team and help your system and build him into what you want him to kind of be and how you want him to perform. You're giving up on all that right away because the unknown is kind of scary sometimes. And when you have a fan base and a front office that needs you to do some things, you decide as a team, well, let's go after this guy who we know can do this and this and this, as opposed to a rookie who maybe can do these things, but we're not 100% sure on it. And it's just, it's always amazed me. My move to a fault with draft stuff, especially in the NBA, is to always go with the prospect and go with the raw talent and the upside. And I'm a little bit of a slave to going with the young guy, the guy out of college, the younger guy who's just in front of his peak, who's just entering that 25 to 27 range. And always going with the guy who has the upside, as opposed to the guy, unless it's a guy like LeBron James, going with the guy who has proven what he can already do and where he's already capped at. And sometimes that is a bad thing. But when you're going into the draft and you're a team like the Grizzlies, or you're even a team like the Mavericks, or even the Timberwolves, I would be fine with them investing in a guy like D'Anthony Melton, Aaron Holiday, Troy Brown, as opposed to trying to trade a pick away just to free up some cap space. I don't know if it's that valuable this year.
I wouldn't say so with this free agent class. I mean, who's the biggest name coming out of free agency? LeBron?
Yeah, I would go with LeBron and Kawhi. And those guys have lists of where they want to go, or are kind of already determined where they want to go.
Exactly. So of those, you know, players, obviously you've got the major market teams, the LA teams, Boston, New York, Miami, you know, teams like that. So, Colton, you pointed out, you know, what it seems like Golden State has created an awesome and also beautiful, you know, a horrible problem at the same time. A lot of teams are almost just, if there's not a clear pathway to be competitive, they're just punting. They're just like, oh, you know, like Lucas brought up Denver just saying, oh, well, we'll just give you this free lottery pick if you take this expiring contract. It's almost just like they don't foresee long-term, you know, immediate playoff contention, so they're just punting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's going to be strange. It's going to make for, I think, a strange draft day. I think teams are going to make some confusing moves headed into the draft and during the draft just because of that. And it'll make for some frustration for the fan base, but also make it, I think it'll make a very entertaining draft night. And so then, kind of on that topic, let's go, as we finish out the episode here, let's go to the biggest surprises of draft night. And I'll take this one first. I think the biggest surprise for me is that DeAndre Ayton is going to be drafted first. I think that the stigma around European players that Porzingis should have broken, and really, if you go back, he was definitely the player who should have been taken by the 76ers, a big whiff by them in going Okafor over him. But if you're looking at this draft, I think that the Kings are going to go with Ayton. It's going to be a really big surprise. And then 10 years down the road, it's going to be that thing that people, like, when they redraft the 2018 draft, are going to say is one of the biggest mistakes of the decade. I think that Luka is going to end up fitting way better into any NBA system, because I think he fits way better into today's NBA. And I think that the Kings are going to kind of wallow in the same spot they've been in the last few years, because they can't seem to break out of the area they're in, namely that they're kind of really trying to draft these guys that don't fit into the modern NBA anymore. And you can say DeMarcus Cousins obviously is such a great player, but they still weren't able to build a team around him. And then when he left, they haven't been able to build a team with the pieces that they've been trying to fit together, these odd puzzle pieces that they've been trying to fit together. And they're going to keep doing the same mistakes over and over again, because they're not really built on a sound system, and it's going to happen again by passing on Luka and drafting Ayton, and they're going to build on the interior of centers that they've been building on the last few years, and without really adding any depth on the outside or any real attack on the outside. How about you, Lucas? What's the biggest surprise you have for this draft?
Yeah, the biggest surprise to me is probably that in the year 2018, we might end up with four of the top five picks being big men, and maybe even five of the top six or seven picks being big men. Just, you know, I'm not saying that any of these guys, you know, Ayton, Bagley, Jaren Jackson, Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter, I'm not saying that any of them are bad prospects or that I dislike them as players, but it's just shocking to me that teams at the top of the lottery, at the top of the draft order, that really need young talent would go for a big man in today's NBA, where we see even the best big men really have their impact sort of marginalized into role player status. When you have a chance to go get guys who, you know, a guy like Michael Bridges, who can help on the wing, can score, can defend, seems to me to be a lot more valuable than even a better big man in today's NBA. You talk about a guy like Luka, you know, I think Luka clearly has more upside to bring value in the modern NBA than a guy like DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like Trae Young, I mean, we see how valuable these scoring guards can be, a Damian Lillard, a Steph Curry, etc. And so, and even Michael Porter with his injury issues, his combination of size and skill at both forward positions is something that maybe we would have maligned a decade ago, a la Michael Beasley, but is exactly the mold of what every NBA team wants and needs in 2018. So it's surprising to me that guys who are big and going to be playing center their whole career and limited a lot in what they do, even though they might be very good, just by nature of their position, they're limited in the modern NBA. It's surprising to me to see so many of these guys mocked so highly. I wouldn't be shocked, actually, if there's a little bit of a side, if we see guys like Trey and Luka and Michael Bridges, Michael Porter, all go a little bit higher than we were expecting. But yeah, that's the biggest surprise to me, is in a league that has become so much about wings, this draft is really, at the top of it, all about the bigs.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. It blows me away. Brian and I were actually talking about Mo Bamba the other week, and talking about how high he's being mocked, and it's just crazy. If I look at the finals, like how big of a deal, how big of an impact was Tristan Thompson or JaVale McGee, and you're looking at just the impact that centers have when you're looking at the top rosters and kind of the teams that you have to chase if you're everybody else. And even a guy like Clint Capela, as good as he was, he's still, his biggest value was rim running off of those picks at the top of the key and just grabbing the ability to grab long rebounds. And if you're looking at somebody you want to take in that top 10, that's not a lot that you're expecting from a guy who you're taking top 10, top 5. So as far as that, give me a Lonnie Walker. Give me the Mikal Bridges, guys who can defend from outside. Give me the Gilchrist Alexanders, the guys who can defend the perimeter outside and the guys who are willing to take three-point shots and extend the floor and expand your offense on the floor. Brian, what's the biggest surprise you see coming from the 2018 NBA draft?
I really feel like there's going to be a team that's going to either reach for Bamba or Porter, whether that's somebody like Boston or Chicago. I don't know why in this draft you would reach for somebody, because I feel like right now I'm sure you both are aware, there's tiers for this draft. And I've never been kind of about a draft in a really long time. I mean, I believe it was the 2016 draft where it was kind of like, it wasn't really anything, well, like overwhelming, where you just had all these stars available from this particular mock. I don't know why you would reach and give up extra assets where you could probably just sit where you're at and get the player that you want. You know, it's hard to say specifically, you know, what's going to happen with Phoenix. Maybe, you know, reports say they should go Ayton, but obviously the new coach is familiar with Luka. Maybe they go Luka. I don't know, but it just seems like there's going to be, I want to say, hot take right here. There will be a GM fired next year because they're going to move up and reach for somebody. I don't know, you know, like a team like Boston, Cole, you just pointed it out. You know, how by trading up and giving up, you know, assets like Jaylen Brown and then maybe a future pick next year that they've got, not that it would matter because they have 10 of them, but how that 15 to 20 minutes a game, is that really going to make that difference in them making the finals? Or they could just stand pat and just continue to just build assets and not, you know, reach for somebody that's not going to probably be playing the last 10 minutes. You know, it's hard to say. Is somebody, you know, a team like the, you know, Clippers going to try to reach for Porter? I don't know, but I feel like there's going to be something that happens where somebody really takes a chance where this would be the draft where you just need to just be patient and the player that you like will fall to you.
All right, I like it. Be on the lookout for those things happening in this NBA draft. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining the show. Make sure to check out Clips Nation, the SB Nation blog dedicated to covering all things Clippers. Lucas, I see you have a trade rumors story on Kawhi Leonard right there on the front page. Make sure to go check out that story as well as all the other stories on the Clippers Nation page. Checking out the draft, looking at prospects, preparing you for the draft, especially if you are a Clippers fan. And then also check out on iTunes and everywhere you can grab podcasts, Lou Hardwood, to prepare you and get you ready if you are a Dallas Mavericks fan. If you want to see what's happening in the top of the lottery, check out Brian's podcast, Blue Hardwood. And thank you so much for tuning in, folks, to another podcast. Thank you guys for jumping on and being the fantastic guest that you are every time you're on a show with me. I appreciate it. And thank you to the listeners for tuning into another show involving us and all of our crazy theories.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.